Hello and welcome to the Supercast. I'm your host, Superintendent Anthony Godfrey. Today we talk with Ryan White. She's a Harriman native who is now among the best of the best in competitive swimming in the United States. That's because Ryan won a silver medal in the women's 4x100 meter medley relay at the recent 2020 Summer Olympics. She also placed fourth in both the 100 meter backstroke and the 200 meter backstroke. On this episode of the Supercast, Ryan takes time out of her busy schedule at the University of Alabama to talk about what it takes to become an Olympic athlete. She shares her experience at the recent Summer Games in Tokyo and talks about coming home to a hero's welcome in Harriman. All right, we are here with Ryan White, silver medalist from the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. And we're really excited to have her on the Supercast. Ryan, I know you're busy with school. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. I'm super happy to talk to you guys and just let you know my story. And I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me.
Now, you swam for Harriman High School for a year. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
And now you are an Olympic medalist. How does that feel?
It's pretty crazy. Some days I wake up and I can definitely feel the excitement, and some days I just remember I'm another swimmer. But it's definitely exciting, and I'm super grateful.
As I was Googling your various accomplishments, you have a lot of medals in your life. You've held up medals of various colors over the years. Tell me a little bit about some of your other accomplishments.
I've been an SEC champ. I think I've been 2 years in a row for backstroke. In high school, I was, I think, swimmer of the year a couple of times. I've just grown up swimming and I really love it. So, yeah.
What drew you to swimming initially?
My older brothers, I have three older brothers and an older sister, and my parents kind of just had us all doing some summer league, and me and my sister kind of fell in love with it together. And so we continued on to do more competitive swimming. I just kind of stuck with it.
At what point did you realize, hey, I might be better than some of the people around me?
I think I first kind of talked about maybe being an Olympian, and that my goals were to do that, and my dreams were, I think I was maybe 11 or 12. I had like a state record or something in the 50 fly. And then I think it really hit me that I could maybe even like swim in college and like really do this thing. Probably when I was 12 or 13, I swam at some meet in Salt Lake City. I swam the 100 back, and my underwaters had just like developed so much that year, and my coaches were super excited. And I think that's when I think I was always in love with the sport, but I think at that time I realized that like I could really go somewhere with it.
And you're 21 now.
Yep.
Tell me about your training schedule. How many hours at the peak, how much time have you spend training a day or a week?
I mean, the NCAA rules are like that we can't be required more than 20. I'm pretty sure like we have voluntary practices that end up going over that, and they're kind of voluntary, but I mean, they expect us voluntary to be there. And I mean, if you want to get better, like you show up. So let's see, we practice. I do doubles Monday, Wednesday, Friday for swimming.
I do doubles, but they're double cheeseburgers. It's a different thing. It's not the same type of regimen at all.
I mean, go ahead. I go like back. A double go back.
So you do double. Tell me again. Start that sentence over.
So we do doubles Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Our swim practices are typically 2 hours long. And then Tuesday and Thursday, Saturday, those are like the single days. And then I lift 3 times a week, and I usually do dry land twice a week. And dry land's just more like cardio. We do a lot of stuff on like the assault bike. We have a Versa climber here and like rowing machines, things like that. So
the assault bike.
Yeah.
That sounds like a high level of energy expended on the assault bike.
I mean, that's what we call it. It's just a stationary bike. But yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things that we do at Dryland. So
the Dryland workout.
Yeah. So
weights, the assault bike, and what else is included in the Dryland workout?
We have like a rowing machine, like an erg, I think that's what it's called, and a VersaClimber, which is like it's kind of like a tall pole, and there's some things sticking out the side of it, and you just move your arms up and down and your legs up and down, and it's like climbing a wall, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, no,
So.
I know the equipment. I've never used it, but I am familiar with it. So,
Good.
with all of that is just a ton of time spent. Is your favorite being in the water?
I actually really love lifting. It's kind of fun. We get to lift in the same weight room as like the football players and like some of the other sports teams. So it's really cool to see other players, and our coach is like one of the football coaches. So I've grown up, my little brother plays football and my dad was like his football coach. So I think that aspect of it kind of reminds me of home a little bit. So I like lifting. I would say I probably like swimming more, but yeah, I'm really fond of the weight room.
Are you mostly focused on backstroke?
Yeah, I mean, I swim the 100 fly at SECs and NCAAs also, but and my training is kind of a little bit more diverse. I'm in actually like an IM group, so we do a little bit of every stroke. But yeah, I would say racing wise, it's mo mostly backstroke.
Now, on the backstroke, you're underwater for more than you are on other strokes. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, every race you can go to the 15 meter mark. Just a lot of backstrokers tend to stay there because I mean you can breathe the whole time. But yeah, I would say my specialty is trying to get to that 15 meter mark in each of my races. So
So the 15 meter mark is the farthest that you can go underwater. Do you have to surface by that point?
yeah, you'll get disqualified if you don't, so.
Stay with us for more from Olympic silver medalist Ryan White.
Do you simply love learning online? We can't wait to have you join the amazing teachers in our brand new Jordan Virtual Learning Academy. In Jordan Virtual Learning Academy schools, we offer innovative, fun, and flexible online learning with daily real-time instruction from teachers. Enrollment is currently open for all K-12 students in Utah. Start on the path to personalized virtual learning success now at connect.jordandistrict.org. That's connect.jordandistrict.org.
Tell us about your Olympic experience from the moment you knew I'm going to the Olympics.
Okay. So going to trials, it was super crazy to be back because I did go in 2016. It was much different feeling, I would say, like walking around on deck and just seeing the people that I was seeing, and I think I had a little bit more better understanding of like how I was thinking I could perform. And just looking up and seeing that I had made the team, that I was second in the 100 back and first in the 2 back, it was just super overwhelming, like so many good emotions, and I got to get out and give my coaches a hug and like my teammates. I was really lucky that my family was able to be there. They were sitting like right on the front row, and that was just such a cool thing to just sit there. And I mean, I looked up at the scoreboard, and like I see my face on the big jumbotron, and I can see my family there. So that was just super exciting. Yeah, and then I went home and packed for a couple of days. And I went to the training camp, which was in Hawaii. It was just super cool to be there with like all these swimmers that, I mean, everyone knows the big names. I'm not a super huge like swim fan. I don't usually keep up with like a lot of meets that are going on. Some of my friends do, and they'll say like, "Did you hear this person went this time?" And I'm usually just in my own space, in my own bubble, just trying to focus on myself. So actually being there with the people that are kind of too famous to ignore, I guess, it was just really cool. I got to know a lot of them super well, and it's just crazy to think like that they're this big, like famous person almost, and you just go and everyone like gets tired, everyone's eating the same thing. I mean, I get to go and practice with them, which is just so cool, and with a bunch of, I mean, the best coaches in the nation, some of. So that was really cool. And then just going into Tokyo, the first few days we were there, maybe like a week, I think, we were training at their high performance center, which is basically like the Olympic training center in Colorado. It was so cool, and the whole Team USA had kind of, I think they like rented it out or something. There were Team USA signs everywhere, and Yeah, that was really cool to see like how they train their national team and stuff like that. And then just getting into the village was crazy. I mean, the process of getting in was very tedious, I would say. They had a lot of check marks and things like that that we had to cross off, and just to keep us all safe with COVID and everything. But I don't, it was so crazy. I mean, you're surrounded by all these people from around the world that are at the very highest level of their sport. And I mean, we had like our own building, but we all eat in the same dining hall. And two of my best friends from Bama were there, and I have another really good friend. They're swimming for other countries, but it was so cool because my small friend group, I mean, they're the three of us. We're friends with everyone on our team, but we're definitely like a little bit closer knit. And I got to go like across the world to see them and like compete where they're competing and like watch them race again. It was really cool, and I'm like I'm really happy that they were able to be there. I think they gave me a sense of comfort and just like familiarity being there. And yeah, I guess the scariest part was definitely racing.
What was Japan like?
It was really cool. I kind of got to see it from the bus window, so not a lot of exploring, but yeah, it was cool. I would love to go back and see the city. There's just city goes so far. Like I looked out my window at the hotel we were staying at, and there are just buildings everywhere. I mean, it's bigger than any city I've ever been in, so
What a
that was
great
really cool.
experience. And an
Yeah.
odd year to be doing it, I know.
Yeah.
You said the scary part was the racing. So tell me about the actual competition part of it.
So I've only been to one other meet internationally. I went to the Youth Olympics in 2018, and it was kind of a weird meet for me. It was my first like international experience, and I think I was there. I think I was a little more naive to being nervous, and I didn't really realize those people were like the highest, I guess, 18 and unders that there were at the time. But just seeing like the best competition in the world, and like we're swimming in the same race, and seeing them in the ready room and in warm up, it was definitely intimidating. And I mean, I hope that I could have intimidated them as well, but yeah, it
I
was
have
really
no
cool
doubt that
to
you did. I have no doubt
see.
that you did. What is
Thank
the
you.
ready room exactly?
Oh, so about like I think it's 20 or maybe 25 minutes before the actual race goes off, you go with your heat of eight girls into this room, and they have a bunch of chairs, and each heat kind of sits in a row. It's just so that they know everyone's there. So someone, if they don't show up, like it doesn't cause delays. I think that's why they do it. And then you see the video of us like marching out from like this area behind a wall. That's
Right.
basically the ready room. I mean, we're all standing there, and they announce our name, and the person cues us to walk. So yeah, you just go back to the ready room with like the people in your heat, which in prelims it's not so bad, but as like you progress on and on to finals, it's a little bit more nerve-wracking, I would say. I mean, it gets a little more intense each time.
I can imagine I would be a wreck sitting in the ready room for 25 minutes in a chair lined up, waiting to walk out from behind the wall. It's got to be quite an experience.
Yeah, it is really incredible, and it's really nice that the US brings two people from each race. I mean, I got to be in there with Reagan Smith and Phoebe Bacon, and they definitely make it a little easier to sit in that room for so long. But
What's your self-talk before you race?
I like to listen to music.
I was going to ask you that. I'm a huge music fan, so what do you listen to? What is your walk-up music?
I just listen to like pop music. I love to just like drive around in my car and sing with my friends, which is, I mean, we're not good at singing, but it's super fun. So that's something that like comforts me.
But
I
you
like
can
to do
sing the
that.
whole song without taking a breath because you've got those swimmer lungs.
I guess maybe.
What are some of the specific songs and artists that you like to listen to?
I really like Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, of course, Dua Lipa. Those are probably like my top three artists that I like. So, yeah. But other than
And you can
that,
have headphones going in there, right? I hear
yeah,
your
you can
headphones a
bring
lot.
like.
As you're kind of swinging your arms back and forth, getting loosened up,
Yeah.
the music's flowing, you're getting
Yep.
ready to go.
Yeah, you can bring like a phone or headphones or your coat, whatever you want, kind of.
Okay, great. And yeah. Then tell us, so after the race is over, you look up at the board, or do you just know because you have a sense of where everybody is?
Sometimes you have a sense, but typically it's kind of a close race, especially at that meet. And the backstroke is just like stacked. There's so many fast backstrokers in the world. So I would say, yeah, I definitely looked up at the board after I raced.
And what is it that sets you apart from other swimmers? I know that is it your underwater kick in particular that's really good?
Yeah, I would say my underwaters. I like the 200 back a little bit more. I think I can hold on a little bit, like, maybe better than some other swimmers, just like with finishing the race. But I think in saying that, it actually helps my 100 back too, because I have a little bit more endurance. So yeah, I would say maybe like endurance and my underwaters. I have pretty strong legs, so yeah.
And your endurance.
Yeah.
Tell me, what do people misunderstand about the Olympic experience, or what might surprise them?
Oh, that's a good question. To be honest, there's a lot more pressure, I think, that goes into it that a lot of people don't realize. And I think especially without having spectators there, I wasn't receiving any sort of, like, I guess, hateful comments or anything like that. But I know that I had friends that were struggling with that a lot. And it's so easy to press send, especially when you're saying something that you wouldn't say in person. So I think that, like, pressure, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, but I think a lot of people don't realize how much pressure we get from outside too. So I would say that was definitely.
Is the pressure from like social media and that sort of thing?
Yeah. And I usually delete my Instagram during meets and stuff, just because I don't even like, I mean, Instagram, you end up like looking at some random person and maybe comparing or like wishing you were doing what they were doing, that kind of thing. So that's just, I don't think that's the best mindset, especially during like a big competition. So I'm usually deleting my Instagram and like sometimes Snapchat or Twitter or anything like that during meets. But yeah.
Well, the social emotional wellness of athletes has been a big topic lately. With a few top athletes choosing not to compete in the Olympics and in other high-level sports. So that's part of what you do to stay healthy is to separate yourself from those accounts.
Yeah, and even, I mean, I've loved getting the support, but I had to wait until after the Olympics to read about articles that I was, like, talking to people like KSL and Desert News, like those types of things. I love them, and actually they bring me to tears when I read them now. But I had to wait to read them. So, yeah.
That's smart. What was it like competing in an empty venue? Do you normally draw energy from the crowd? Did you have to put yourself in a different frame of mind? How did that work?
I think it definitely was different. I wish people could have been there to see all of us race and just make noise. We were lucky that we got to have some spectators at trials. This past season with college swimming has been very similar to the Olympics, where we didn't have crowds, but we still had like our whole team there cheering, and everybody else has a whole team there, where at the Olympics, some countries have two people from their country swimming. So you can't really bank on everyone having this big group of people to cheer for you.
Sure.
So yeah, we were trying our best to make noise. I'm sure you guys could hear it. Like, I've heard so many people asking me what the horn is, and they're saying, when do they blow this horn? And I was so confused until I realized that it was the other swimmers watching, blowing a horn, trying to make noise.
So, that's great. Great that they tried to fill the arena for you.
Yeah.
It must have been very hard for your parents not to be there.
Yeah, I think it was really hard. They had a couple of watch parties each time that I swam. And yeah, I really just wish they could have been there. I wish everyone's parents could have been there. That would have been so cool. So
they did a great job of making sure you felt welcome and celebrated when you came back. Tell me about that.
I was so surprised by the welcome home. I was sitting in the back seat of the truck just talking to my little brother and sister. And my parents are asking me what gas station I wanted to stop at, and I was just thinking, let's just go home. Why do we need to stop at the gas station? And they pulled over, and there's just this huge truck, and they just told me I was going to parade home, and I was so excited. I did not know what to do with myself. Yeah, it was so cool to see, like, all these people coming out of their houses, waving to me and welcoming me home. It was really cool.
Well, that's well-deserved. A lot of people got a big boost out of watching you compete and cheering you on, and I was one of those. So that's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really – it's definitely something I'll never forget. So
now there's a lot of great experiences around this. Do you feel like you're a better swimmer having been in the Olympics?
I think I definitely learned a lot about myself, and I think I can grow as a swimmer from the experience. So yeah, I think I will get better from this.
And are you planning on Paris in 2024?
Not exactly one to plan, but it's definitely my next goal. So
I guess hoping for and setting a goal for Paris in 2024 is a better way to put it.
Right, yeah.
What would you say to girls who are swimmers and who are inspired by seeing you compete and are thinking that they might want to do that for themselves?
I would just say to definitely follow your dreams and believe in yourself, because you don't need anybody else to believe in you. It all comes from within. So
great advice. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yes,
good luck with your ongoing swimming career and with school. And thanks a ton for taking the time. It's been a real pleasure to get to talk with you.
Thank you. I agree. It was so much fun getting to know you, and I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Supercast. Remember, education is the most important thing you'll do today. We'll see you out there.